All right. Good morning, everyone. Let's begin. So we're going to do something. We're going to do something a little bit different, Emirat Hashem, for this morning and for next week, which is to focus a little bit on some of the topics concerning Purim. So specifically, but again, there's going to be a Tehillim tie-in because I'm quoting a pasuk from Tehillim. So that's it is related to Tehillim as well. But today what I really wanted to focus on a little bit is to try to cultivate a deeper understanding of Parsha Zachar. If you take a look at number one, so the Torah says the following. At the end of Parshas Kisetze, Zachor is Asher Asolacha Amalek, Baderech Betzeischem in Mitzrayim. Remember what Amalek did to you when you left Egypt. Asher Karacha Baderech, they happened upon you on the road. Vayizanev Becha Kol Hanecha Shalim Acharecha. And they attacked all of the stragglers who were behind you. Va'ata Ayef Viagea, you were tired. Velo Yarei Elokim, and you did not fear God. Vahayoa Bahaniach Hashem Elokecha Mikalevecha Misaviv. And it will be when Hashem gives you your land. It will be when the Lord grants you respite from all your enemies around you in the land which the Lord your God gives you as inheritance to possess. You shall erase the remembrance, the memory of Amalek from underneath the heavens. You shall not forget. And if you look in number two, so again, in the Sefer Meshivas Nefesh, bless you, and you see a little bit of a biography over here, he quotes from the Smak. The Smak is the Sefer Mitzvos Kitanos, one of the earlier codifiers of Mitzvos. You know, again, there are a number of different Svarim that qualify, or I should say, that quantify, that count the Mitzvos. So, of course, the most well-known is the Sefer Achinuch. But again, there are many other svarim, earlier svarim, that go ahead, just as an interesting idea. Everyone agrees that there are 613 mitzvos. But there is incredible disagreement as to which mitzvos constitute those 613. Now again, the lists are not that dramatically different. But for example, one of the major points of contention is Yishuv Eretz Yisrael. Is there a biblical commandment to live in the land of Israel or not? So again, different codifiers of mitzvahs have different opinions. Ramban counts it as a mitzvah, others don't count it as a mitzvah. So here the smack in number two says, the Sefer Mitzvos Kitanos writes, Vezel Shono, Liskor Ma'ase Amalek. We have an obligation to remember that which Amalek did. Dichsev Zohar is Asher Asalocha Amalek. Vezehu B'Shabes Shalifnei Purim. And when do we remember what Amalek did to us? We remember what Amalek did to us on the Shabbos before Purim. This Shabbos, there's so much to speak about in terms of why does the remembrance have to be on a Shabbos? Why can't it be on a different day of the week? But we're not going to get into that right now. But for our purposes, there's a biblical commandment to remember that which Amalek did to us when we left Egypt. And the way that the rabbis instituted, the way we fulfill that biblical obligation is Parsha Zachar, Shabbos Zachar, the Shabbos before Purim. And he quotes over here, V'zelash on Smag, writes, V'tanya Zachar Bapeh, Yachol Belev, Kishu Omer Al Tishkach, Hari Shichachas Halev Amr Omer Mekayim Zachar Bapeh. And again, lest you think that it's enough just to cognitively remember that which Amalek did to us, the rabbis teach us, the Gemara Maseches Megillah explains that it's not just something to think about Amalek, but rather again, one must actively articulate about the episode of Amalek, and therefore we fulfill this obligation each and every year on the Shabbos before Purim. In number three, the Shulchan Aruch writes, Yesh Omrim, Sheparshas Zachar Chayovim Likhara Midda'araisa. There are those that say that there's a biblical obligation to read Parsha Zachar. Levichach, B'nei ha'yishuvim she'en lohem minyan tzrichim lavo l'makom sh'yesh minyan b'shabasas halalu k'dei l'shmoa parshios elu she'em mida'araisa. The Shulchan Aruch says, therefore, even people who live in far-flung places where they don't have access to a minyan on Shabbos, let's say they might not normally have Kriyas Torah reading, on the Shabbos they must make sure to be in a community where there is a minyan, where there's going to be Kriyas Torah, so that they could discharge this biblical obligation to read this section of Parsha Zachar. Hago. He writes, Ramo writes, Vimi Efshalahem Lavo, what if somebody doesn't have access to a minyan on Shabbos? They can't hear Parsha Zachar. Mikomokom, Yizaru lekrosam beneginasam betamam. You can read it out of a chumash, and you should read it with the proper trup, the proper cantillation, and one is able to discharge the obligation like that. Just as an aside, this is why we know again that even for women, this has become a important practice to be able to hear Parsha Zachar. Just an important halachic note that if for some reason one is unable to hear Parsha Zachar on Shabbos Zachar, the Mishneh Berurah also explains that one could fulfill the obligation with the Torah reading on Purim morning. Because the Torah reading on Purim morning is the end of Parshas Vashalach, Vayavo Amalek, the actual story of Amalek's attack against Klal Yisrael. So if one is, for whatever reason, unable to hear Parshas Zachar on this Shabbos, they could go ahead and fulfill the obligation on Purim morning. But again, all of that background to one central idea, which is, there is a biblical obligation to remember that which Amalek did to us when we left Egypt, and there is an obligation to eradicate the memory of Amalek from underneath the heavens. The question we're going to try to explore today is why? What exactly is the purpose of this mitzvah? Remember again, we as a people have absolutely no shortage of enemies. Amalek is just one enemy. Now it's true, Amalek has come to represent not just a specific nation, but Amalek has come to represent an ideology of baseless hatred, baseless anti-Semitism. But again, is it God commanding us to remember that people hate us? Well, I don't know about you, but if you want to remember that people hate us, what do you need to do? Check any major news outlets, and you will be very quickly reminded that people hate us. Meaning, it's not complicated. It's not a complicated thing to remember. So again, sometimes we get lulled into periods where we think the world loves us, or we think that we're accepted, or we think that ultimately, again, we've been embraced by the community of mankind. But we're often very quickly awoken from that. Mistaken idea. So what is it exactly that the Ribono Shel Olam wants us to remember? And what is it exactly? Because remember, this is not just a nice thing to do. This is a biblical obligation that we have each and every year to remember that which Amalek did to us. So the question we're going to try to explore today is why? What is the nature of the mitzvah? What is it that we are supposed to learn? And ultimately, what is it that we are supposed to do? Because it's something very important in Judaism, which is, you know, I've mentioned this in the past. Judaism didn't really have philosophy. We're not really a philosophical religion. Why are we not centered on philosophy? What does philosophy create? Philosophers, right? And what do philosophers create? More philosophy, right? And in turn create more, meaning this is why you hear sometimes people get locked into all type of deep theological discussions. Judaism is not a philosophical religion. Judaism is an actional religion. We believe in action. We do things. That's what we do. And we believe that the more you do, the more you understand. The more you do, the more you become connected. The more you do, the more you create that bond with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And we know this. Meaning, you don't need me to tell you this, because we know it through just life experience. The more I do, sometimes I do mitzvot, I learn Torah, I do chesed, I give tzedakah, and I feel more connected. I don't know why. I can't intellectually explain why that is. I can't rationally explain what it is, but again, our relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not something that's rational, it's not something that's intellectual, it's something that's spiritual, emotional. And as such, again, why am I sharing this with you? Because if God tells us to remember that which Amalek did to us, it can't be that the essence of the obligation is to remember. It has to be that what? That the memory, the remembrance, triggers action. Because everything in Judaism leads to action. That's why, again, it sounds strange, but sometimes a person says, you know, I'm struggling with my Judaism. We all have periods where we struggle with our relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So what happens if you find yourself in a point in life where I'm struggling with my relationship with God? What's the answer? What? Do more. The answer is, now, you say that to someone, and it sounds totally counterintuitive. I'm telling you that I'm struggling, and you're telling me to do more? No, that absolutely is the answer. By the way, it's not just the answer with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, it's also the answer in marriage, it's also the answer with children, it's also the answer with parents. In any relationship, if you want the relationship to grow stronger in difficult times, do more, give more, contribute more, and that has an incredible impact on the relationship. With HaKadosh Baruch Hu, it's the same thing. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, Zachor is asher asalacha Amalek. Wonderful. God, I'm going to remember what Amalek did. God, remember. I remember. Now what? So that memory, that remembrance, has to trigger some type of actional reality. And that's what we're going to try to understand today. What is it exactly that the Ribono Shel Olam wants me to get from this particular mitzvah? So we're going to explore a couple of different options. Take a look at number 4. So the Sefer HaChinuch says, and this is quite beautiful, the Sefer HaChinuch writes, Mishroshei HaMitzvah. What is the essence of this mitzvah, of remembering that which Amalek did to us? He says, Laseis El Libenu, Shekol HaMeitzar, Shekol HaMeitzar LiYisrael, Sanui Lifnei Hashem Baruch Hu. It's to remind us that whoever goes ahead. Does everyone have a sheet? No? Okay. Good. It's to remind us that whoever goes ahead and afflicts Klal Yisrael is despised by HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's a very important idea. That whoever goes ahead and afflicts and causes suffering to Klal Yisrael is despised by the Ribono Shel Olam. V'chi lefira asa v'armas rov nisko. And the more pain that a particular nation causes Klal Yisrael, tiemap halaso v'ra'aso, ultimately again will be in direct correlation to their downfall and to their affliction. Kimosha atamotse ba'amalek, just like you find ba'amalek, kimipnei sha'asa ra'a gidola liyisrael, shehischilhu lahazikam, tzivanu baruchu la'abed zichra mine aret ulasharish acharav adkulo. So Sefer HaChinuch says something amazing. You know what the entire message over here is? The entire message is that if you start up with Klal Yisrael, there are repercussions. Who is Amalek? Who is Amalek? Amalek is, I mean, if you think about it, we've had so many enemies over the generations. So why is Amalek being singled out? And what's the answer? Because they were the first. Because they were the first. You know, Rashi HaKadosh gives an incredible mashal. Rashi says, Klal Yisrael came out of Mitzrayim. And Rashi says, we were like a scalding hot bath. So no one wanted to start up with us. Why? Because think about it. Who in their right mind would start up with the nation? Right? We just decimated Egypt. I mean, God just decimated Egypt. Just split the sea. Incredible miracle after miracle after miracle. So no one started up with us. Who in their right mind would start up with us? And Rashi's like a scalding bath. Everyone knows that if you jump in, you're going to get scalded. But once the first one jumps in, what happens? What happens? Cools down the bath. And once the bath is cooled down, it paves way for others to come in. Amalek were the ones who jumped in. They were scalded. They were defeated. But they cooled it down for everyone else. They opened the door to say, Klal Yisrael is not, they're susceptible. Klal Yisrael has weaknesses. Klal Yisrael has Achilles heels. And once they opened it up to the nations of the world, other people felt empowered to attack us as well. Says the Sefer HaChinuch, the message of remembering what Amalek did to us is that there are consequences for starting up with Klal Yisrael. That if you hurt us, if you cause our nation pain, there will be divine consequences. And the more pain you cause us, the more the higher or the more intense the consequences will be. Therefore, Amalek, who were the first to go ahead and start with us when we left Egypt, their punishment is that they will be eradicated. That they will be erased. It's amazing. Kadosh Baruch Hu doesn't say this about any other nation. He doesn't say it about Egypt. He doesn't say it about Bnei Yishmael. He doesn't say it again about Sichon or Og or Ammon and Moab. They all started up with us. But it's Amalek who has to be eradicated. Why? Because they were the first. Because their trespass against Klal Yisrael was the worst. And therefore, again, their punishment is most severe. Take home message being that if you cause Klal Yisrael pain, there will be ramifications from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But if you look at number 5, the Sefer Panim Yafos takes this a step further. And the Sefer Panim Yafos says, he quotes, I'm going to try this together in just a moment, but he says the following, Zachar Bepeh, and again, you can see the biography here, Zachar Bepeh, Yachol Bolei, Kishu Omer Lo Tishkach Shichas Aleiv Amar, Hama Ani Mekayim Zachar Bepeh, Tzarech Lahavim, I'm just going to read 2 lines and I'll translate, Lama Bechol HaZechiro Shebetorah Kegon Zachar HaSyom HaShabbos, Shu Gam Kim Bepeh, Lo Hutzrach Lefarish Elagabe Amalek. Okay, so the Baram Yafos asks a very interesting question. This is not the only place where the Torah commands us to remember something. The Torah commands us to remember Shabbos. Remember again, after davening, after Shacharis in the morning. There's a section called the Shesh Sechiros. There are 6 things that God commanded us to remember. God commanded us to remember what happened to Miriam, the severity of Lashon Hara. There are many things that God, 6 things that God commands us to remember throughout the Torah. Yet the only one that the rabbis commanded us to articulate, to actually enunciate, is Amalek. So I have to remember what God did to Miriam, but I don't have to say anything. It's a cognitive process. I have to remember, Lashon Hara is severe. I have to remember that HaKadosh Baruch Hu took us out of Mitzrayim. Again, it's a cognitive reality. Why is it that by Amalek, as the Panim Yafos, that I actually have to we have to read the section. And he says something amazing. Skip down last two lines. Of Azchiras Amalek, Einot Tzorech Shah, Ela Be'ez Ketz. Because the Panim Yafo says, remember, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, you're going to wage war against Amalek, and I'm going to wage war against Amalek. But when will I wage war against Amalek? It's not going to happen now. It's going to happen in the Messianic era. That ultimately, so if we tie these two things together, what the mitzvah of Zechiras Amalek says is the following. That there will be judgment for all of the nations that have afflicted us throughout the ages. And that's really what Amalek represents. Amalek represents baseless hatred. Amalek represents rabid anti-Semitism. And so the mitzvah of Zachor is Asher Asalocha Amalek. Why do we remember? We remember in order to remind ourselves that there will be divine justice. That HaKadosh Baruch Hu will go ahead and will mete out His wrath upon the nations who have hurt us so badly throughout the generations. And I want to clarify this a little bit. We are not a vindictive nation. We're not a vindictive nation. Meaning, you know, for example, one of the terrible phenomena that's happening now in Eretz Yisrael is what they call the Tag Mechir, the price tag attacks. Where Jews go in and they either burn down Arab homes, like that terrible thing that happened in Duma, where that Arab family was killed, or they destroy property. We don't do that. We don't do that. We don't take vigilante retaliatory actions. That's not our people. We're not a vindictive people. That's fundamentally and profoundly wrong and antithetical to everything we believe in. So why do we want revenge upon Amalek? We don't want revenge, we want justice. There's a difference between justice and revenge. Revenge is, someone did something bad to me, I'm going to do something bad back to you. Justice is, Ribono Shel Olam, we've suffered so much. Just promise us that somehow the equilibrium of the world will be set in the right balance. Promise us that somehow, some way, there'll be divine justice. We don't need to be the ones that mete it out. We don't need to be the ones ultimately that make sure that's done. But promise us it will happen. Says the Sefer Achinuch, the mitzvah of Mechias Amalek, the mitzvah to eradicate, the mitzvah to remember that which Amalek did, is the way we remind ourselves that as much as we've suffered throughout the ages, there will be divine justice. The Ribono Shel Olam will right the wrongs. We will aid him in righting those wrongs. He'll give us a directive how to right those wrongs, but the wrongs will all be corrected. When will it happen? Says the Panim Yafos, probably not now, but in Yiras Hashem, Mashiach comes, that's when all of the scales are reset. So you understand the profundity now. Every single year, HaKadosh Baruch Hu commands us to remind ourselves, to remind our communities, to remind our people, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is keeping a watchful eye on things. And although it always appears that we are the persecuted, and although it always appears that we are the underdog, and although it always appears that we are getting the short end of the straw, just know, justice will be served. The Ribono Shel Olam will right the scales. When? It might not be till Mashiach comes, but the great thing about being part of the Jewish people is what? If there's one thing that we have perfected over the last 2,000 years, it is the art of patience. We are an exceptionally patient people. Not with one another so much, but we are an exceptionally patient people with our Kodesh Baruch Hu. Ribono Shel Olam, we love you. We know that you love us. We know there's a plan. And the truth is, we're in this for the long haul. We've been in it for the last 2,000 years. And we're in it for as long as it takes to get to that messianic finish line. And what gives us nechama, what gives us incredible, incredible source of comfort and consolation is the knowledge that you will right the wrongs. You will take care of everything. You will balance the scales at the end of the day. Says the Sefer Achinuch, says the Panim Yafos, that's the mitzvah of remembering Amalek. Zachor is asher asalacha Amalek. Remember what Amalek did to you. Kadosh Baruch Hu says they didn't just wrong you, they wronged me as well. And I promise you, bless you, I promise you, at some point in time, the scales will be corrected, equilibrium will be restored, and justice will be dispensed. Take a look at number 6. Rav Kook, Rav Avraham Yitzchak HaKohen Kuk says the following. You should just know, by the way, each of these things, if we had more time, each of the, or if I started on time, each of these things, you know, has a national lesson and a personal lesson as well. You know, the national lesson over here is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is saying, I know that you're hurt. I know that everyone, it's true, you know, sometimes we've become so accustomed to the obvious and nuanced anti-Semitism that exists in this world. It's like par for the course. You know, we just wait for another nation to come out against us. We wait for another condemnation from the United Nations. We wait for all things. You know, it's just common for us already. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, just be reminded that ultimately HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to take care of us. He's going to take care of us. He's going to take care of us as a people. But there's another piece also, which is he's going to take care of us as a nation. This is very important. You know, sometimes in life we are wronged, not as a nation, but as individuals. And often when we are wronged as individuals, there is a reflexive desire to strike back. Mechiyas Samaik also reminds us, don't do it. HaKadosh Baruch Hu has a way of allowing for incredible course-correcting activity to go ahead and occur. Very often in life, you don't have to wage the battles. The battles will be waged for you. The Ribbono Shel Olam says, there are always people who hurt us, whether as a nation, as individuals. Sometimes in life, it's better just to take the higher road and not to stoop down to the level of those who hurt us, who oppress us, and recognize that at the end of the day, equilibrium is always restored. Take a look at number 6, Rav Kook. Rav Avraham Yitzchak HaKohen Kuk writes, this is a much longer piece, we're not going to do this whole thing. I just want to share part of it with you. So Rav Kook writes the following. Again, everyone is struggling because everyone is trying to understand, okay, I got it. Amalek hurt us. They attacked us. They were the first. What's the message? What is it that I'm supposed to do? So Rav Kook says something amazing. Zechiras Amalek, by paragraph Aleph. Asher karcha baderach vayizanev b'chal kalnech Hashem acharecha. He says, v'isa b'mechulta, shahayim nichnas l'soch kanfi anon, v'gonev nafshos miyisoa v'hargon, shesinas amalek eina dome klal sinas ha'umos, hanuhuga bein umo l'chaverta, shenasina ki'im ala klal v'lo ala prat. Aval amalek haya, shayasoni kedushas yisoa me'ikaro, haya be'inav davar godaf ilavidas nevshach. So first of all, Rav Kook writes, and this we're not going to get into now, but I'm sharing it with you. Rav Kook says the hatred of Amalek was different than the hatred of other nations. The other nations may despise the Jewish people as a nation, but there's no individual animosity. I hate the nation, but I don't hate the individuals. Amalek hates the individuals. They hate each individual Jew, not just the nation of the Jewish people. It's interesting, by the way, this is important because this helps you to understand perhaps one of the most perplexing parts of the Megillah, right? We know, again, what leads Haman to ultimately want to destroy the Jewish people? Mordechai. Right? It's an amazing thing. So Haman has everything. Haman has everything in the world. He's got power. He's got money. He has the king's ear. And there's one old Jew that won't bow down to him. And this sends him into an entire... it happens to be, it's a different issue. I mean, if you want like a little bit of like a psychological, it's called an incredible inferiority complex, right? Where again, any time a person needs everyone to like them is generally signs of a terrible lack of self-worth. Always know, I think I mentioned this in the past year, life is not a popularity contest. In fact, if everybody likes you, it's probably indicative that you're not doing anything of significance in life. Because anytime you do something of significance, somebody's always going to dislike you. So it's an amazing thing that here Haman has everything. But there's one old Jew who sits at the gate of Achashverosh, of the palace, who won't bow down. So that's it. It sends him into an entire frenzy. Everything becomes about eradicating this nation because of one guy. Says Rav Kook, that's hatred of Amalek. Amalek is not a national hatred. Amalek is a personal hatred. Amalek, you know, unfortunately, we don't need the perm. So this was the Nazis, Yimach Shem V'Zichram, right? The Nazis' hatred of our people was not just a natural hatred. The individual Jew, that's how else are you able to slaughter children? You know, children, it doesn't matter how much you hate someone. Children are innocent. Children are pure. Well, in the eyes of Amalek, every single Jew is disgusting. Every single Jew is filth. Every single Jew. So when you have that mindset, so a child's not a child. The child is a piece of garbage, just like everything else. Says Rav Kook, that's the hatred of Amalek. It's a personal hatred. It's an individual hatred. Yes.
Very beautifully, he said, like Abba said, she'eno tzluya b'dava is a real ava. This is sina she'eno tzluya b'dava. But we are commanded to kill innocent children of Amalek.
You added in a word that is not correct.
We are commanded to slaughter even little children.
We're commanded to wipe out Amalek. Right. That is correct. It's a different discussion, which has to do with the fact that our definition of right and wrong is not dependent on what you and I think is right and wrong. Our definition of right and wrong is what HaKadosh Baruch Hu says is right and wrong. So you're right. I want to tell you, just an aside, I struggle with many things in life. One of the things I struggle with is the eradication of Amalek. But the Ribbono Shel Olam said to do it. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu says to do it. And again, the world would call that today genocide. Right? But HaKadosh Baruch Hu says to do it. And that's part of what we have to condition ourselves to. And it's one of the hardest things is I bend my knee before God. Just because I think something is right or something is wrong makes absolutely... This is the mistake of Shaul. Shaul made this mistake. He thought he knew what which was better. But again, much deeper, more complicated discussion. Take a look at the paragraph Dalet. So Rav Kook goes on. But again, this is the Iker part I want to show you. And this is what Rav Kook says is the message of Amalek. Gam mitzad shu etzem hatuma hamenagid ela kedusha humetame es ha'olam mimitziyuso. Says Rav Kook, Amalek is the embodiment of tuma, the embodiment of impurity that undermines anything that is holy. They defile the world in its essence. V'chol zeh, or v'chol zman, shu ba'olam, who dochek esragle akdusha, where as long as this impurity is in this world, it sets aside any type of holiness. Va'al kein biuro mitzvah. Therefore, the eradication of Amalek is a mitzvah. Paragraph A. Va'over al b'nei Yisrael ba'ashuso. Okay, so if Cook goes on, essentially what he says is the following. What does Amalek represent? Amalek represents the embodiment of evil. Amalek represents the embodiment of that which is impure. And therefore, HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells us that it's our obligation to eradicate the impurity and unholiness that is within this world. So what's the message? Now you have to understand, you see, the Rambam already paskins that there's no mitzvah to wipe out Amalek today. The Rambam already paskins that way. Right? Why? Because again, Sancheirif came along and mixed up all the nations. We don't know who's Amalek, who's not Amalek. And the Rambam even says that even if somebody tells you that guy is an Amalekite, you still can't kill him. That's not the world we live in. So there's always a deeper... So if Cook says, you know what the mitzvah of remembering Amalek teaches us? There's evil in this world. There is evil in this world. You know, we live in a society and in a world of moral equivalency. You know, in our world, no one's wrong. Everyone's just misunderstood. And you understand, it's so scary because when you have that mindset, it justifies everything. It justifies everything. So you could justify indiscriminately going around stabbing Jews because you don't live in as nice of a house or because you're not happy with... Where did that come from? Where did that come from? Or amazingly enough, every single time something happens, even in this country, everywhere, again, there's always an excuse. There's always an excuse because we're scared to label evil as evil. We're scared to label wrong as wrong. Why? Because if you do that today, then you're what? Well, you fill in the blank. You're judgmental, you're racist, you're misogynistic, whatever. All the different things that we love to be labeled, that we love to label people as. And Rav Kook says, once here, we have to remind ourselves, there's evil in this world. There is evil in this world, and don't call it by another name. Don't call it by another name. Don't try to go ahead and write it off to something else. Evil is evil. Why is this important? It's important on so many levels. Fuchs says because in a world of moral equivalency, if there's no right and wrong, then ultimately we're all susceptible to falling prey to all kinds of influences. So once a year we remind ourselves that there's evil in the world, there's Amalek in the world, and we must be very careful to draw our lines. Says Rav Kook, this is not about who to wipe out, who not to wipe out. Yes, there is a mitzvah of Mechias Amalek, but the truth is, that mitzvah is not really shayach. It's not really applicable today. Maybe in the Messianic era it will be, maybe it won't be. Who knows what's going to happen when Mashiach comes. But for our purposes, once a year, says Rav Kook, when we read about Amalek, we are reminded that there's evil in this world. And we are reminded that we must be vigilant. And we're reminded that we must be careful. And we are reminded that there's right and there's wrong. You know, the Ramchal, Moshe Chaim Lutzato, in Mesilas Yesharim, in the beginning, explains, in the second chapter, third chapter, explains that, you know, in life, you have to know what is the Tov HaAmiti. What is the ultimate good that I'm working towards? And The Ramchal says that before I do anything in life, I have to ask myself a simple question. Will this action get me closer to the Tov HaAmiti, the ultimate good, or will it take me further away? That's it. Ramchal says, ask that question before you do anything in life. If the answer is the affirmative, it gets me closer, then do it. If the answer is it takes me further, don't do it. So what I always found striking about that Ramchal is, you know, we love to say that the world is not black and white, that the world is gray. But the truth is, if we're honest with ourselves, the world is absolutely black and white. And we only like to live in the world of gray because we don't have to make big decisions then. If everything is gray, it's not sure, it's not clear, it's a machlokes, it's this, it's that, you know, you can see it both ways, then I don't have to take a stand. Then I don't have to take decisive life actions. Then Chas says, it's not true. Everything in this world is black and white. It's Bnei Yisrael or it's Amalek. It's Bnei Yisrael or it's Amalek. It's Tov or it's Ra. And the truth is, if we're honest with ourselves and we distill all of our options in life down to these two criteria, it's true. Everything in life is, as I often say, the only place you will ever find Parav in life is in your kitchen. There is no Parav in the arena of life. It's either Tov or it's Ra. Says Rav Kook, you could use that, by the way, feel free, right? So Rav Kook says, this is the mitzvah of remembering Amalek. Remembering Amalek teaches us that in this world, there are two forces. There's good and there's evil. And each of us have to choose a team. And if I'm not, we've already chosen a team, Baruch Hashem, right? And the truth is, we remind ourselves every single year, once a year, don't fall into the trap of moral equivalency. Don't fall into the trap of ascribing everything or relegating everything into the realm of gray. There's right and there's wrong. There's Tov and there's Ra. We, Baruch Hashem, are privileged to be on the side of Tov. We must make sure, says Rav Kook, that our decisions, our lifestyle, and what we do reflect that affiliation. And to take it a step further, Rav Kook goes on, I didn't include this on the sheet, but Rav Kook says that just as there's evil in the world, there's evil inside of each of us as well. It's a very important idea, says Rav Kook. You know, we're all good. We're all wonderful people, all righteous people. But within each of us lurks a capacity to do very bad things. That's why the Mishnah, in Pirkei Avos says, Al-ta'amin ba'atzmacha ad yom moscha. Do not believe in yourself until the day that you die. What a depressing thing to say. So what were Chazal trying to teach us? Chazal trying to say is that sometimes we say to ourselves, oh, me? I would never do that. I would never do that. So say Chazal, don't give yourself so much credit. All of us, if given the opportunity and the right circumstances, can make terrible decisions and do terrible things. Therefore, what Chazal are saying is, never believe that you are above temptation. Never believe that you are not susceptible to anything. So there's Amalek on the outside, there's Amalek on the inside. There's Amalek in the external world, and there's Amalek in the internal world. And says Rav Kook, each and every year we read this parsha to remind ourselves of the enemy within and the enemy without. Within and without. We remember the enemy inside and the enemy outside. And we energize ourselves, we mechazik ourselves to fight our enemies. We mechazik ourselves to fight our enemies on the outside world. We mechazik ourselves to take a stand where a stand needs to be taken. And we strengthen ourselves to be able to eradicate the Amalek within. To, like the Ramchal said, to choose the ultimate good and to make sure the decisions we're making in life, the lifestyle we're leading in life, reflect the fact that we affiliate with Klal Yisrael and not Chas Shalom with Amalek. Take a look at number 7. And this is going to be our last approach for today. So let's look at number 7. So this is from the Sefer Be'er HaChaim. So this is actually quite beautiful. And this is from the Rebbe of Lulav, the Lulav Rebbe. So he says the following, in paragraph A. He quotes over here, Mitzvas Hayom B'Shabes Zu, He Limchos Shemo V'Zichro Shal Amalek, so he quotes over here that the mitzvah of Parsha Zachar, the mitzvah of Shabbos Zachar, is to eradicate the name and the memory of Amalek through accepting the Torah, through accepting the mitzvos, and through upholding them, each of us to the best of our ability. Now understand, the Be'er HaChaim is speaking about this idea that Amalek, and I'll just say this outside for a moment, that Amalek is not just a nation, and we've already seen this. Amalek is a concept. In fact, the Zohar brings down that Amalek, Zohi Yetzer Hara, that the Amalek is the evil inclination, which fits in very beautifully to what Rav Kook just spoke about before, that there's the external Amalek and then is their internal amolik. So writes the Be'er HaChaim that our job on the Shabbos of Parsha Zachar, how do we today? So now here there's a biblical commandment to eradicate the memory of amolik from this world. So how do we fulfill that mitzvah today? So the Lover Rebbe, he suggests that the way we do that is through upholding our Torah and upholding our commandments. Now, what does that mean? The cuss of the Beis Aaron, Kol Ish Yisrael, he quotes over here from the Beis Aaron, Kol Ish Yisrael, Komashu Oseh, Sarech Lihios Shebazu HaAsiya, Yismacha HaZecher Shel Amalek. Every Jew, every single thing we do, we have to have in mind that every act we do somehow erases Amalek. We'll explain what this means in just a moment. When we are careful with this, Kol Bar Yisrael, every single Jew, Azai Batuach Ani, Asher Chish Meir Yupturim Mikol Atzaros. And the sooner we go ahead and dedicate all of our Torah, all of our mitzvahs, all of our positive spiritual acts to go ahead and eradicating Amalek, the sooner we will be freed from all of our difficulties. Now, what does this mean? So take a look at the section below, the one that's titled Aleph. This is an amazing, amazing story. Daha nechias amolik b'yamenu, hi al yedei kiyam mitzvas Hashem. So today, the way we fulfill erasing amolik is through upholding the commandments of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Through serving God, we erase amolik. Now, what does that mean? So understand, if you look at amolik, like Rav Kook said, not just simply as a nation, but as evil, as darkness, and everything that is dark in this world is amolik. So how do you dispel the darkness in this world? Only by infusing light. And says the Be'er HaChaim, says the Beis Aaron, that the way I infuse light in this world is through my Torah, my spirituality, my mitzvos, my chesed, every single thing that I do in a positive way that infuses light contributes to the erasure of Amalek. Listen to this. So that paragraph Aleph. He says, this is such a beautiful statement, docha harbe minachoshech. A little bit of light dispels a great amount of darkness. We know this to be true. If you stand in a pitch black room and you light a small little candle, one little candle that in an illuminated room would do absolutely nothing, in a dark room gives off so much light. Right, the Be'er HaChaim, a little bit of light goes such a far way in a world that has been darkened by Amalek. Chassid Gadol Meforsa Mayar Reb Chaim Zalman Brazil quotes a story. Pam Achas, listen to this story. He was one Mechashuvei Chassidei Karlin. Pam Achas B'Yitzi Asa Min HaMikvah. So listen to this story. So one time this particular Chassid was leaving the Mikvah. Kasher Es Min HaAlav. He was tying his shoes. V'Zak Beino U'Bein Atzmo Yemach Shemo. Okay, so what happens? So this guy is coming out of the mikvah. This individual is tying his shoes. And as he's tying his shoes, he cries out, Yimach Shemo, may his name be obliterated, may his name be obliterated. Amat Sham Yehudi Bekirvas Makom V'Nechran Yimash Sham Leznav. So another Jew heard this Rabbi Zalman crying out, Yimach Shemo, Yimach Shemo. And he was a little startled. What do you mean, Yimach Shemo? I mean, Yimach Shemo is such a dramatic statement. His name should be obliterated. We say it about Haman. We say it about Hitler, Yimach Shemo V'Zichro, about Amalek. What's going on? So this other guy who's in the mikvah with this Rabbi Zalman thought that this Rabbi Zalman who was crying out Yimach Shemo was talking to him. Right? He's yelling at me, Yimach Shemo, Yimach Shemo. He's wondering, what did I do to this guy? He's yelling at me, your name should be obliterated. So you can imagine this scene. So this other individual goes over to this Rabbi Zalman and he says, excuse me, you know, can I help you? Did I do something to you that you're yelling at me, Yimach Shemo, your name should be obliterated. No, you didn't do anything to me. Rather, this Rabbi Zalman was saying that in the Beis Aaron, it's explained that every single mitzvah that a person does, person should have in mind that they are eradicating Amalek. Al Kain, Listen to this. Listen to how beautiful this is. Be'ez kishiras hana'alayim kefia nifsak b'shulchan aruch harehu mechavein limchos shmo v'zichro mitachas hashamayim v'lachim kililo shebozeh yimach HaKadosh Baruch Hu shmo me'al p'nei ha'adam here. You know, there's a halacha as to how you put on your shoes in the morning. Right, you put on your right shoe first, and you put on your left shoe, you tie your left shoe, then you tie your right shoe. So what was happening? So this particular chassid, when he was getting dressed in the mikvah, after immersing in the mikvah, he put on his shoes, and what did he cry out? Yimach Shemo! He puts on his... Why? Because every single mitzvah that a Jew does in this world somehow creates an erasure of Amalek. Because every single mitzvah we do in this world adds in a little bit of light to a very dark world. Because every little bit of positive energy that we infuse somehow pushes Amalek and erases Amalek's influence in this world just a little bit more. So this prayer, this holy Jew, every put on his right shoe, Yimach Shemo, because that's what the halacha commands me. Puts on his left shoe, Yimach Shemo, because that's the halacha commands me. Ties the left, Yimach Shemo, Yimach Shemo. Because every single thing that we do in a positive way somehow leads to an erasure of the evil of Amalek in this world. Every single thing that we do in a positive fashion erases the influence that Amalek has in this world, says the Be'er HaChaim. That is the message of Parshas Zachar. Why do we remember Amalek? Why do we remember? For all the reasons we said before. There's Amalek within, there's Amalek without, there's external Amalek, internal Amalek. The scales will be adjusted, equilibrium will be restored. Okay, what am I supposed to do now? What's my job? What's my job? We're going to be in Shul on Shabbos. I'm going to hear the parasha. And God is going to remind me that I have an obligation to wipe out Amalek. So, okay, what do you want me to do? What? I'm not a particularly violent individual. Right? So what should I do? What should I do to wipe out Amalek? Even like the Rambam says, I can't wipe out Amalek today. What should I do? Says the Be'er HaChaim, we each have the ability to eradicate. There's so much evil in the world. There's so much negativity. There's so much that is wrong. But we have the ability to erase Amalek, each of us in our own way. Every single positive thing that we do, every single mitzvah, every single chesed, every single good deed, big or small, diminishes Amalek's influence in this world just a little bit. Macho Timcha, that's the mitzvah we have every single time when we read about Amalek. There is a present day mitzvah Mechias Amalek. It might not be with the sword, and it might not be with weapons, and it might not be in conventional warfare, but it's spiritual warfare. Each of us has the obligation to wipe out the influence of Amalek, to wipe out, to push back the darkness just a little bit through the good deeds that we're able to accomplish. But let's take this one step further. If you take a look at number 8, there's a beautiful pasuk in Tehillim. This is from chapter 147. I have absolutely no idea when we're going to get up to that. But in any event, at least you could say you saw it now. So the pasuk says so beautifully, Monat mispar lekochavim lekulam shemos tikra. Literally, the Ribono shel Olam counts the number of stars. He calls them all by name. Godol Adonino v'rav koach. Our Lord is great and has much strength. Lisvunaso ein mispar. So literally, lisvunaso ein mispar, we normally translate as his understanding cannot be calculated, which we normally understand to mean what? That HaKadosh Baruch Hu's comprehension, HaKadosh Baruch Hu's understanding, God's comprehension defies our comprehension. We don't even understand the wisdom of the Ribono Shel Olam. So Rav Soloveitchik has a beautiful insight here. The Rav writes, this is in number 9 in the Sefer Al HaTshuva. He says the following, Ulai ze mashmaos ha-psukim, shana omrim b'chol yom b'psuki de zimra, Mona mispar lekochav in lekulam shemos tikra. God counts the stars. He calls all of them by name. Godol Adoneinu v'rav koach. Kadosh Baruch Hu is great, is our God, and has much strength. Lisvunaso ein mispar, and his wisdom, his understanding cannot be calculated. Has no number. So the Rav asks, Lama lisvunaso ein mispar, v'lo lisvunaso ein keitz or ein gvul. The Rav says the verbiage that David HaMelech is employing doesn't make sense. I understand what David HaMelech is trying to say. David HaMelech is saying that God's comprehension knows no bounds. There are better Hebrew words you could use. So say, Lisvunaso ein gavul. What does gavul mean? A boundary. God's wisdom has no boundary. Or, Lisvunaso, God's wisdom ein keitz. Keitz means what?
End.
Why do you say, bless you, Lisvunaso ein misfar? His wisdom has no number. That's how it literally translates. His wisdom was svunasu in mispar, has no counting, has no number. The Rav says something amazing. He says, "Elishinira li kikach perusha shel mikra." This is the meaning of the pasuk. Get ready for this. Hakadosh Baruch Hu mona mispar kochavim. God counts the stars. Hu misadas kochavim b'mishmar asein barakia. God's arranged the stars and their constellations. Sholeit the constolios, he goes ahead and he rules over the constellations, Hashemaimios in the heavens, Hatsumos le'ein shir, ugvul, vu'atzmor in sof, gold of rachoach, ubechozos, so God is great. God is awesome. God is without end. God is without beginning, God without end. And nevertheless, get ready for this. Lisfunaso in mispar. What does that mean? Lisfunaso, chasras hagavlus ulachachmaso hakoleles umakifo hakol, Ein lemispar kol chashivos. The Rav says something amazing. L'svunoso ein mispar means, and in God's wisdom, ein mispar. Numbers have no importance. That's how the Rav translates the pasuk. L'svunoso in God's wisdom, ein mispar. Ein lemispar kol chashivos. Numbers don't have an importance. What does that mean? Bori olam shebara. Shalom Asatsumim, Milyone Kochavim, the God who created so many different worlds, who created millions of stars, Ma'arachu Shamamios Adiros Hamishtarshos Apni Shtachim Fantastim Shamanyoni Shnos are, again, there are millions of light years, all different. Ef Shahayalakshov, Shu Oiv Gatlos. Turn the page. I would have thought that if God is great, what God loves are big things. Gatlos. He loves great things. Paragraph Aleph. Rachus otzma sharigodo adunivrakoach. So I might have thought that God, who created incredibly vast things, only loves it when we create vast things as well. Therefore, David HaMelech says, "Lochein." That's not the case. Ella lisvunaso bibichina shelo. According to God's understanding, ein mispar. God does not look at numbers. What does that mean? Ein kol chashivos lamisparim hagidolim. God does not need large numbers. Meaning what? Be'einav yesh legargir akotan lamashu shebemashu, azoyer also, erech kimo lama'arachos astronomia atzumos. For God, the individual granule of sand is just as important as the millions of them. Umishum kach, he said, I'm sorry, skip down to paragraph base. Be'yados, so what is the Rav saying? L'sfunaso in mispar means that in the eyes of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, from the wisdom of God, it's not just the great things that register on the divine radar. But in the eyes of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, every single action that we do, big or small, matters. You see, people think that because God is great, all He recognizes are great accomplishments as well. So what does David HaMelech say? Yes, Gadol Adonenu V'Rakoh HaKadosh Baruch Hu is absolutely amazing. However, L'svunoso, but from his perspective, from his understanding, in mispar, God is not looking to us for great accomplishments. God is not only paying attention to the headline-grabbing things. In God's eyes, in mispar, He does not judge greatness the way we judge greatness. He does not judge greatness by quantity. He does not judge greatness by what we call echos or kamos. God judges greatness by the individual's desire to contribute of him or herself. Take a look at paragraph base. This is such a beautiful verbiage, beautiful wording. Biyadus, choshev lo rak ha-ma'ase ha-hiroi ha-gadol. So look what the Rav writes. In Judaism, what is ma'ase ha-hiroi? Heroic. Heroic. The Rav says in Judaism, we don't just place emphasis on heroic action. Ma'aseh sh'akol mispalim mimenu mispalim alav. We don't just place emphasis on the action that everybody says, wow, I can't believe that person did that. Ma'aseh sh'doros omdim mishta'im nachachol utimeim eich yochol haya adam la'giya ladarga kuzu shel gvur mesiras nefesh. In Judaism, we don't just place the emphasis on heroic action, like an Esther Hamalka, like a Mordechai Yehudi, like a Moshe Rabbeinu, like a Yeshua Benu, like a Sermenu, like a Rachel Imenu. So we don't just place emphasis on heroic action. Paragraph Gimel. Hayadus binuya lo rak al shim hayiroim kimasa akeda. Judaism is not just built on heroic actions like the akeda. Ela b'mida lo pechusa mikach. Gama maase yom yom kitanim v'shigrasim. Where HaKadosh Baruch Hu looks for are day-to-day simple actions that are low. You understand what the Rav is saying? And this is mind-blowing. In the eyes of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, if I exert myself to do something good, I exert myself to dispel some of the darkness, I exert myself to wipe away Amalek just a little bit by infusing the world with good, in the eyes of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that's no less important than Avram Avinu's Akedah. See, if I would say that, you could say that's ridiculous. But the Rav says it, so it's true. Right? In the eyes of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, heroic activity is defined by a person exerting themselves to do something good. Adam Avinu exerted himself by doing the Akedah, great. I exert myself by doing a chesed for someone else, that's no less great. And he goes on, the Rav says, in paragraph Gimel, third line in, Kalalomine Sagimara Parakasoches HaPolim, Shem says, Ba'Mesia, Ro'a Be'izis Orus Atzuma, Kibel Avram Avinu Shloshes Hamalachim Shenid Muluka Aravim. The Rav says something amazing. If you think about it, by the way, the Torah spends so much time. In general, it's always interesting to see what God chooses to spend time on in His Torah and what He chooses simply to gloss over. So, for example, at the beginning of Parshas Vayera, the Torah spends so much time, when I say so much time, four psukim, which is a lot of airtime in the Torah, four psukim discussing Avram Avinu sitting by the tent, looking at the guys, you know, he thinks they're guys, he doesn't know they're angels, inviting them in, please, can I get you some water, could I give you something to eat? Who cares? I mean, what, really, I understand. The angels are there to heal Avram Avinu, to destroy Sodom, to announce, like, let's get to it. We've got places to be, people to meet, right? I mean, why are you wasting all this time telling me a story about Avram Avinu sitting at the entranceway of his tent, and it's hot, and he's schwitzing, and should they come, shouldn't they go? Who cares? So just, do you know why HaKadosh Baruch Hu is doing that? Because HaKadosh Baruch Hu is showing you that Hachnosas Archim is no less heroic than Akedas Yitzchak, because they each get equal airtime in the Torah. You see, we think that great people are defined by heroic action. And what's heroic action? It's Esther Amalka. Esther Amalka goes into Achashverosh under threat of death. That is heroic action. And heroic action is Avraham Avinu being willing to give Yitzchak. And Yitzchak, those are all great things. But says Rav, do you think that's all that HaKadosh Baruch Hu cares about? Do you think that's all that God pays attention to? In the intellect of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, He doesn't measure how great your actions are by how heroic it is. HaKadosh Baruch Hu looks for exertion. If I'm giving of myself, if I'm exerting myself, if I'm trying to be better, to do better, and to infuse a little bit of light into this world, in the eyes of the Ribono Shel Olam, that is just as great as Akedas Yitzchak. And therefore, says the Rav, the Torah goes out of its way to spend as much time discussing Avram Avinu's hospitality as it does with the binding of Isaac Akedas Yitzchak to teach us that in the eyes of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and this is going to sound strange, they're equal. Now, of course, they're not really equal. Akedas Yitzchak was an incredible seminal event, but they're equal in the eyes of HaKadosh Baruch Hu because they both represented Avraham Avinu's exertion to try to infuse light into this world, to try to do a little something extra. And what the Rav is saying, I think this is so important, because sometimes, you know, you should know, 99% of life is not comprised of heroic activity. In fact, most people are never called upon to do something heroic. Most people, how many Esther Amalkas have we had throughout the ages? The truth is, we've had many Esther Amalkas throughout the ages. We just don't know their names. They just haven't made it. They just weren't written about. We've had many people like that. But at the end of the day, most people are not called upon to do an Akedas Yitzchak, Baruch Hashem. Most of us are not called upon to be an Esther Amalka, to be a Mordechai Yehudi. But lest you think that our day-to-day small actions are worth any less than the eyes of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, for the Sfunasu and Mispar. That's not how God works. What HaKadosh Baruch Hu looks for is for a Jew to exert him or herself, for a Jew to try to do something to infuse a little bit more light in an otherwise dark world. And if I do that, day in and day out, then in the eyes of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, my life is just as heroic as Avram Avinu's. My life is just as heroic as Esther Hamalkos. My life is just as meaningful as all of the people we read about throughout Tanakh who did incredible things that acquired incredible koach. So if we bring this all together, according to the Baruch Haim, we now understand what's the message of the Shabbos. Right? We're going to come to shul, and every single year we come to shul and we listen. Zachor is Asher Asa Elocha Amalek. Wonderful. I remember, Amalek attacked us, and we have to wipe them out. But what does it mean? So for me, what do I have to do? And the answer says the Be'er HaChaim, says the Beis Aron, says Rav Soloveitchik, is I have to realize that Amalek represents the darkness in this world, and there's so much darkness. And when we talk about darkness, it's not just about evil, and it's not just about Amalek or people attacking us or anti-Semitism. There's darkness in this world. There's darkness of anti-Semitism, and there's darkness of hatred, and there's darkness of evil, and there's darkness of sickness, and there's darkness of privation, and there's darkness of suffering. There's all kinds of darkness. And sometimes when a person sees all the darkness in the world, they throw up their hands because they feel helpless. What could I do? I'm one individual. So every single year, Chazal tell us to read Parsha Zachar to remind each and every one of us, and this is not each and every one of us, man, woman, and child, that we have the ability to push back the darkness. That we have the ability to, each of us, erase Amalek in our own way. How? By just simply doing something. By just simply exerting myself, pushing myself in some way, saying, Ribono Shel Olam, I'm trying. Ribono Shel Olam, I'm exerting. Ribono Shel Olam, I'm going to do an extra chesed. I'm going to give a little extra tzedakah. I'm going to learn a little bit more. I'm going to do an extra... Whatever it is, you fill in the blank. Everybody chooses their own way to dispel the darkness. But that's the message of Parsha Zohar. We each have an obligation to do our part in pushing back Amalek. And I think, so if we bring this all together, it turns out that this Parsha that we read once here, in fact, has some incredibly important messages. According to the Sefer Achinuch and the Panim Yafos, it teaches us that although we suffer in the now, we've been suffering for a while, and often it feels like life is not fair and the scales are skewed in the favor of the nations of the world, we know that HaKadosh Baruch Hu ultimately again will restore universal equilibrium and will mete out justice where appropriate. Parsha Zachar reminds us, according to Rav Kook, that there's evil in this world. There's external evil and there's internal evil. We must be conscious of that evil. We must acknowledge the presence of that evil. And we must do what we can, both externally and internally, to choose the side of good, identify with good, and make the proper life decisions that will help lead us to that good. And finally, again, we had the Be'er HaChaim, the Lover Rebbe, the Be'is Aaron, the Rav Aaron of Karlin, and the Rav who explained to us that the real mitzvah of Amalek is the world is filled with darkness. There's hatred darkness, there's sickness darkness, there's suffering darkness. But we have an incredible zechus. You realize the privilege we have. The privilege we have is that each and every day we can do something. Drive with the darkness. So I would make the following suggestion, and this will conclude. You know, we live in a very plugged-in world. So we know what happens. We know what happens at all times, right when it happens. And sometimes we hear about a terror attack, or we hear about someone being stricken with some type of sickness, or we hear about this tragedy or this tragedy, and we think that, like, the reaction to that is to krechts, oh, terrible, when is this going to end? Remember again the way we started this year? We are not a nation of krechtsers, although sometimes it appears that way. We're not a nation of krechtsers, and we're not a nation of, what are we going to do? We're an actional nation. So that when we feel that the darkness of Amalek has become more intense, when we feel that the darkness of evil, that the darkness of suffering has become more intense, there's a very simple remedy. And it is, do something. Do something. So you hear about a terror attack in Eretz Yisrael? Good. Decide. Now what am I going to do? There's more. Right when that happens, there's more darkness in this world. There's more darkness in this world. So what am I going to do? I'm going to pick up the phone. I'm going to call that person that's a shut-in. I'm going to call that elderly person. I'm going to go ahead and I'm going to give extra tzedakah. I'm going to daven more. Whatever it is, what am I going to do? You hear about someone who's stricken with illness and not a day goes by. Not a day goes by that the burden of Klal Yisrael doesn't become more intense with some illness or some tragedy or something. And it's not just enough to say, oy vavoy, when is this going to end? Do something. Someone's ill, what am I going to do? Wow, there's more darkness in the world. What am I going to do? That's the privilege we have. Unless you say, oh, come on. What is my little thing going to do in a world that's filled with Amalek, in a world that's filled with so much darkness? Just remember this one phrase. V'lisvunaso ein mispar. The Ribono Shel Olam does not judge heroic activity by how difficult it is to do something. In the eyes of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Lisvunaso in Mispar, heroic activity is defined by someone exerting themselves, by someone pushing themselves, by someone realizing that, you know what? I control a lot of light. I have so much light in me. And my light, my nair, my one candle, has the ability to dispel so much darkness. That's the Kabbalah we should make. That's really what we should accept upon ourselves. That when we hear about these things, to not just crack, to not just complain, not just throw our hands up in the air, another one, when is it going to end? Let's do something. Let's do our part in driving away Amalek. So this Shabbos, when we hear Parsha Zohar and Shul, and we fulfill our biblical obligation, halavai, we should be Zohar Mirat Hashem, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu should eradicate the Amalek. HaKadosh Baruch Hu should remove evil from this world. HaKadosh Baruch Hu should take away all the suffering, all the darkness of this world. But until HaKadosh Baruch Hu does it, and again, we're a patient people, God does not work on my schedule. God does not work on your schedule. God works on His schedule. And we appreciate and we respect HaKadosh Baruch Hu's schedule, even if we don't understand it. So we hope for that time where HaKadosh Baruch Hu will take care of the Amalek. But until that day, we pledge to ourselves, we pledge to one another, and we pledge to HaKadosh Baruch Hu that we will do our part in dispelling the darkness. We will do our part to infuse a lot more light into an otherwise dark world. Okay. I don't know, what's the schedule? It's Tanis Esther. I don't know. I assumed there was.